Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all to be here to hear God's word and receive his gifts. Today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and so we'll receive the body and blood of our Savior. And if you're our guest, we have a communion statement on the first page. If you could have time to take a read and look over that. But other than that, today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and so we're rushing through the Easter season, the resurrection season, remembering Christ and his risen from the dead. And then next Sunday will be an observance of his ascension. So today we read from John and Acts and all these good books. I don't think I have anything beforehand to tell you, but I'm happy to be back and be here with you all. I trust last Sunday was just as filling. I know last week for me it was very refreshing. So. Yeah. Well, let's begin by singing our first hymn on our first page. As you're able, please stand, since it is Stand Up for Jesus. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor and miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, therefore I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing. O God, to giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for our readings. Our first reading is from Psalm 98. And we speak responsibly. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous songs. Sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing their joy together.
Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace throughout Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing him speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for today comes from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Jesus. Amen. Our Christian life is consumed not just our experience here on Sunday, but our Christian life is actually encapsulated by all that we are and who we are in our everyday experience. Our Christian life is not just defined by our attendance here or what we do here, but it's a description of who we are as those claimed by Jesus Christ, baptized into his baptism, washed by his blood, and claimed to be his child. Yet, while church attendance is only a part of the description of Christians, and it's certainly an important part and defining part for us, church attendance is just one of those helpful indicators of people's spiritual health and the spiritual health of God's people. But it's also, oddly enough, the way the world gives definition for Christians, or at least the definition for average Christians. 70 years ago, the average Christian would worship once a week, weekly, on every Sunday. Today, the definition for an average Christian is one who worships once or twice a month. Now, I'm not one who gets latched on to the description of Christians defined by the world. And I don't care for those people who look at statistics, numbers, and averages to describe the Christian faith, let alone what makes an average Christian. But I guess the name average Christian and then the number itself is still a bit concerning to me. First, that the average Christian is defined as one who only participates in worship. But secondly, the fact that only once or twice a month is considered average. But I can't help but think how the average has changed over the years, and only in 70 years that number would change what average is. But I guess my mind goes in different places a lot of times, and often not helpful for my own anxiety and insecurities. But maybe we can calm our consciences and see that the average Christian is not so much defined by our own worship attendance. Even still, though, I find it hard to swallow that average in America, with all the opportunities given to us and every door that is open, considering our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world, that 2.5 hours a month is enough for anyone. And the word average doesn't really say much, because it's not that I don't think these people don't care. I don't think they don't care about what goes on here and what is actually happening. If anything, the fact that people care to show up occasionally tells me that they still do care, that this faith does matter, that the Christian life and being a Christian, hearing God's word, being involved with the church fellowship is still important. But I guess what it really does say to me is that we live in a world that is pretty busy. And life does get in the way. And at times, and it seems all too often, that the world does feel overwhelming. And so the message today is not about church attendance. I'd be preaching to the choir if it was, because you're all here. No, this message is about what overwhelms you. Does the world overwhelm you? Or does the word overwhelm you? Because if you haven't noticed, the world we live in, the America we perhaps once grew up in and known, is no longer operating the way of Christianity. Christianity is no longer the norm of the world. It no longer overwhelms or defines our culture, and we can't assume that we're partaking in Christian life by simply engaging the culture around us. Now, the world is certainly more secular, and the world doesn't align with our Christian faith, and the world believes God is dead. But it's not up to us to try and hold on to what is already gone and lost. And we cannot instill or bring back the Christian America that we once thought was so great. No, that's not our job. That's not the church's job. It's not the job for you. Because you cannot overcome the world. And you cannot bring back Christianity as the dominant cultural norm in America. It's not possible. But we should all be aware of what is overwhelming us. But if you look at our reading in 1 John, we have overcome the world. According to 1 John here, the author writes, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And then he follows it by saying, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Yes, our faith overcomes the world. And so, yes, our faith ought to bring back the Christian culture, right? The Christian nation, the Christian world we used to have. But if we remember the object of our faith, if we look to what our faith holds on to and depends on, we'll find that victory doesn't consist in the way we thought. That this overcoming of the world is actually not what we expect it to look like. Jesus Christ shows us what it looks like to overcome the world. Because Jesus in his life and his work has overcome the world, and it wasn't in the way anyone had expected or hoped for or thought. Because for the world, victory is achieved through power and through fear and through strength. Jesus Christ's victory has come to us through weakness, through trust and hope. For as 1 John tells us, the testimony comes to us by the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And this is the testimony of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. We read it in Acts that Jesus Christ came into the world in flesh and blood, and in the Jordan was baptized by John, and then the Spirit descending upon him, appointing him, and throwing him into the wilderness. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus works to bring about the reign and rule of God on earth, to bring God's reconciliation, the good news that the creation is his and it's being brought back to him. He comes to establish God's rule, his kingdom, and to establish his reconciliation between his chosen people. The water, the blood, and the Spirit continue to make known God's purposes, to witness to who Jesus is. Baptism is established as the means to make one God's child. Jesus institutes his supper with his body and his blood. And the Spirit continues to witness to him and point to Jesus Christ's glory. And then, in the most profound way, at his death, we see that the water and the blood pour out of his side. And then in his resurrection, he sends the Spirit to his disciples and to his church. And there the gifts of God are continuing to make known, to witness, and to testify who Jesus Christ is in his life and his work of salvation. To announce his victory of overcoming the world. But it wasn't done in strength. His victory came in weakness, in servanthood, and in love. Jesus Christ overwhelms the world not through power, not in fear, but in trust and hope. Trust that this creation belongs to God and that his will is better than our will. Trust that in Jesus we have achieved the victory and that he has brought you into his presence, into his name, and into his victory. And then there is hope that we will be brought into his kingdom when he returns. You have seen it. You have been baptized in it with the water. You have eaten and drank from the blood of Jesus, and the Spirit involved in that word has testified and made known to you. It has enlivened you and enlightened you with the faith that has been passed on from disciples to church to the disciples and to the church. But that testimony does not live in you because of the strength and power that it possesses. It lives in you because of the promise God gives in his Son. And the life you inherit from that is one that, well, quite frankly, is like his. And your victory in faith is one that is lived quite differently. Because when you are overtaken by God, that means you are now changed from the way the world sees victory and the world sees overtaking and overwhelming to the way Christ has lived and been victorious in his creation. It influences how you live. That's why, well, I think remembering something like Mother's Day today is important. Because what Mother's Day means for us is quite different than what it means now for the rest of the world. In the world, mothers don't necessarily receive the same praise as they once used to. I mean, they receive it differently. Because at least the sole mother that only raises her children or merely stay at home are not seen as mothers living to their potential. In the world, mothers are the ones who take on careers and raise children, take up all kinds of responsibilities and volunteer work. They get into government roles and they take positions within social movements. They have to be a part of all these great things, and there's nothing wrong with being a part of these wonderful things and taking responsibility. But when the cares of the world, when the world overtakes the responsibilities of mothers, and who are the ones who suffer most? The simple pleasure of raising children is seen as not doing enough or not living your full potential. It's seen as being weak. However, you know the importance of a seemingly ordinary role and how foundational mothers are. Maybe you feel pressured and overwhelmed by the world to be involved and get active in all different ways. Maybe someone is forcing you all to participate to change the world, and you're stretched 100 different ways, trying to cover the crises and tragedies that seem to press in around you in all directions. And perhaps you're being scared and frightened into committing yourself to this cause, or to work this many hours, or by fear and threat of disease, losing money, or losing your Christian nation. It causes you to be overwhelmed by what the world dictates is good for your life. Perhaps you're being overwhelmed by looking out for number one and making sure you're happy and that all the joys of the world or achieved. But it seems to me that this way of living, being busy, and being overwhelmed has not made too many people happy. You don't need to be overwhelmed or overtaken by the world. And you don't need to overtake the world because you have already won. Christ did it. And you are part of it, brought into it. The world has no control over you. You are not bound to live busy and overwhelmed lives of the world. For while your seemingly ordinary roles might appear weak and futile to the rest of the world, God in Jesus Christ has given those places new life, a resurrected life in Him. In those roles and places God has put you are of utmost importance. For your faith is the one who overcomes the world, and it has brought you the victory over the world. And now you live that victory in your life, not through strength or fear or intimidation and power, but through servanthood, through trust and hope. And it's here with the body of Christ that you're nourished in that faith. By the gifts that God gives, the gifts of the church through baptism, through the supper, the consolation of brothers and sisters in the faith who are united in the same confession. All we do here is actually rather simple and ordinary. A small bowl of water, a little morsel of bread, and a little bit of wine. Simple words. Nothing on the surface shows strength here. But in them is the Spirit of God. And you are changed, reformed, and formed into the kind of person you're supposed to be. God's child, His creature. And as God's child, you live and follow Jesus in the life He gave you to mirror. It's from being nourished by God's gifts that you continue into your Monday where God is with you in the ordinary places He puts you. And if we start paying attention to the roles God has placed us in, to the things that matter, like families, our work, our friends, others who are in our immediate community, that is where your faith lives. That is where Jesus Christ has achieved the victory. And that's where you overwhelm and overcome the world. Yes, the world will try to overwhelm you. The world's not going away. The world will pressure you. It won't stop. The world will continue to move further and further from what we once knew. The world will be overwhelming. But you have the victory. You have overcome the world. And the world no longer controls who you are or who you belong to. You belong to Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome the world and the one who is coming soon. You are victorious, and He holds you safely in His arms. In the name of Jesus, amen. Upon hearing the word of God, we continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on the bottom of page 6. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with our hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Please be seated. Church, as you're able, please stand. Blessed God, you do not reject our prayers or remove your steadfast love from us. Hear us now and answer us in your love for your whole church and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you invite us to freely come and hear your word. Bless and increase our faith, that we may rightly fear you and learn what you have done for our life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son in his incarnation took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom you have given us. Teach us to honor them aright, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with a child and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you made known the good news of peace through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless and direct the work of our missionaries, that in every nation there will be people who fear God, do what is right, and receive forgiveness of sins in his name. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you rule this world by your established authorities in ways that we do not always understand. Yet in the name of Jesus, we may ask you anything freely as friends and sons. Bless our nation's leaders and cause them to serve wisely for our good. Give earthly peace and justice that is in accord with your commandments in the order you have revealed. Bring an end to injustice, violence, and disdain for your truth. And let us receive all good with thanksgiving. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, at the death of your Son, you gave your Spirit in the water and blood poured from his wounded side. Grant that we may receive it again in the body and blood of Jesus and overcome the world by our faith in him. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, the giver of all that is good, grant your healing and support to all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Fly, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. Give them also the gift of your grace to accept and bear their crosses with faith in you. We especially remember our faithful friends who are unable to gather with us, Sanda, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza and Jim, and Alex. Give them grace and love in troubling times that finally they would be prepared to depart this life and receive the gift of eternal life in your kingdom. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Creator, be with persecuted Christians across the world. Give them courage and strengthening their faith to endure the trials set before them.
Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, and everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We sing the August Day. Please be seated.
Thank you. body of Christ given to you.
Please stand. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis found on page 11. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that, of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Please be seated.
Thank you.
I'd like you to pull up the old announcements sheet in here.